according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. But turning and seeing his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. But before I comment on this fascinating gospel lesson from Mark of Peter rebuking Jesus, and then Jesus rebuking Peter back, before we get into that, I wanted to bring up an essay that I read recently, titled "Glory Versus the Cross" by a renowned academic named Gene Veith. I don't know, some of you may have heard of him. This is what he wrote. "Mother Teresa was a living saint, according to the popular mind, compassionately caring for the sick and dying, and projecting a love that brought cynical secularists to their knees. After her death, the Vatican put her on a fast track to sainthood. But then a book on her life published some of her writings that showed Mother Teresa was racked with spiritual depression and a sense that God had abandoned her. The atheist Christopher Hitchens, who had earlier written a book attacking Mother Teresa for her pro-life views, crowed at the news. 'See,' he wrote in Newsweek magazine, 'she didn't believe in this Christianity stuff at all.' But even many who admired her were flabbergasted that this saintly woman who talked so much about serving Christ had such trouble feeling his presence. Maybe she wasn't such a saint after all." Why is it that so many current day Christians, people of all denominations, why would so many be surprised that Mother Teresa suffered depression and felt that God had abandoned her? And look at John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born, according to Jesus, the guy who identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Even John the Baptist, sitting in King Herod's prison, grew depressed and despondent. And in his doubt and despair, he sent emissaries to Jesus asking, "Are you really the one to come? Or should we look for someone else?" Even John the Baptist struggled with depression and doubt, along with Abraham and Moses and David and most of the prophets. Why be surprised that Mother Teresa wrestled with depression and doubt? Maybe you also wrestle with depression and doubt. Lutheran pastor and author Brian Wolfmuller points out that Western Christianity has evolved in such a way that many modern Christians believe that the primary location of our spiritual lives is internal, on the inside of us. If you make a decision for Christ and invite Jesus to live in your heart, if that's your view of how salvation works, all of that is internal. Everything important is happening within you, in the theater of your heart. And it's all up to you, your decision. So it's subjective, subject to your feelings. And if God is working only on the inside, and it's all up to you, then what happens when on the inside you fall apart and you just don't feel Jesus anymore? You face a crisis in your life, and the joy down in your heart, what if it disappears in the face of that doubt and despair? You know, I've mentioned this before, but Martin Luther had exactly that experience in the winter of 1521. He was hiding from the Pope in a castle near Eisenach, Germany. The previous spring, the Pope had condemned him as a heretic, and so he could legally be killed at any time. The pressure was intense on Martin Luther. Horrible thoughts went through his mind. What if he was wrong, and the Pope was right? It got so bad that Luther began to be tormented by terrible dreams and visions. Finally, one difficult night, as he worked late into the wee hours, there in front of him, he saw a vision of Satan mocking him. And legend has it that Luther grabbed his ink bottle and hurled it at the vision, screaming, "You can't hurt me! I'm baptized!" When Luther looked internally, all he saw and felt in his heart was doubt and guilt and fear. But when he looked externally, not toward his feelings, but toward the historical event of his baptism, he could grab onto the objective truth of God's promises to him. Promises of forgiveness and salvation and life. Promises that come with baptism. It didn't matter what he saw or how he felt. All that mattered was the truth. And the truth was that he belonged to Christ. Period. The same is true with you in your baptism. And it's true when you hear the words of absolution that we just heard earlier. Your sins are forgiven. Some days you may not feel it. But the objective truth is that your sins are forgiven. Or when you come to the altar for communion, which we will do again someday soon, I hope, where Jesus' body and blood are somehow bound up in the bread and wine, you may not feel worthy. Your faith may be wavering. But regardless of how you feel, through those objective, external elements of bread and wine, God promises that you are forgiven and reconciled to Him simply because He loves you. So what does all that have to do with our gospel lesson from Mark? Well, along with Mother Teresa and John the Baptist and Martin Luther, St. Peter experienced a big letdown also. Jesus asked his disciples about the speculation that swirled around him. Who do people say that I am? Rumors were rife. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah or one of the prophets. Then he asked the most important question. Who do you say that I am? Peter answered for all of them when he said, "You are the Christ." In other words, Jesus, you are the long-awaited Messiah. And then Jesus dropped the bombshell. I will suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and in 3 days rise again. And he said this very plainly, easy to understand, but apparently very, very difficult to accept. In fact, Peter actually took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, which at first sounds unbelievable, until you realize all of Peter's fondest hopes and dreams had just been dashed. It was shocking to Peter what Jesus had just said. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's not what Peter wanted or expected, to lose his life. In fact, he expected with Jesus that he'd win all the battles and find all the answers. He was even sure he'd eliminate all the sin in his life. He was what we call a theologian of glory. But Jesus isn't looking for theologians of glory. He's looking for the opposite, for theologians of the cross. People who see themselves as they really are and recognize their own frailties and failures and sin. And who also recognize that God is at work in suffering. At work in his own suffering on the cross was Jesus. And then God hides himself also in your suffering. I mentioned Jean Vieth's essay on Mother Teresa and the scandal caused by the revelation that she suffered and doubted and felt abandoned by God. For me, Jean Vieth continues, the news of Mother Teresa's dark night of the soul made me think that maybe she really was a saint. Not in the Roman Catholic sense of a spiritual superhero, but in the biblical sense of a sinner whose hope is in Christ and not in herself. She did not follow her feelings or trust in her good works. Rather, she walked by faith and not by sight. For you who suffer depression or doubt, who experience chronic pain, who face tragedy or bitter disappointment daily, who live in dysfunction, or you who are afraid or filled with regret, be encouraged. Like Mother Teresa or John the Baptist or the Apostle Peter and countless others loved by God, you're being crucified with Christ. It's not easy. But the end result is that you'll be raised with him because he loves you. Simply because you're forgiven and God loves you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize in the everyday suffering of life that you are at work in us. And Lord, when we're just not feeling it within ourselves, Lord, help us to remember to look to our baptisms for confirmation that we belong to you, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Help us to look to communion. Help us to look to the words of absolution, that you are forgiven, and believe that we are forgiven. Lord, when those internal feelings fail, and they often do, help help us to trust the external signs that you have given us. We ask this in Jesus' name.